Blog Talk Radio.
Getting a late start here. I'm very sorry. I've had some technical difficulties. Welcome to the Spingola Zone. It is Monday, May 26, 2014. This is Deanna Spingola. This weekly program is sponsored by the American Free Press. It is a newspaper that I have been a subscriber to for quite some time. I'm so flustered. I'm not great at doing logistics for a radio program. Anyway, the American Free Press is, the website is AmericanFreePress.net. I'm going to try and get try to get our guest, who is Clint Richardson. I'm not having any luck at that because... Well, I don't know. I'm not sure what to do here. Okay, could you please, could you please call my guest, Cliff Richardson, the Corporation Nation? Hang on, let me give you a... the corporation nation is. Okay, did you have that?
Can you give me the number?
Yeah, I just did. Hang on just a minute. The corporation nation, Skype, the corporation nation.
Oh, I thought it was a phone number. Okay, let me pick that up. Okay.
Okay, he's waiting for a call. Okay. 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 I think that we need to get you on the Skype list. Okay. All right. Anyway, what's going on at the American Free Press? What do we have? We have a Memorial Day sale, $10 off of a one-year U.S. print subscription, plus a free $25 book. Get 1 year of the American Free Press print newspaper for only $49. The regular price is $59. Plus, get a free copy of the 267-page book, Jim Tucker's Bilderberg Diary. Okay, do we have our guest yet?
Yeah, I'm hooking him up.
Okay. Oh, gosh. I think there was something wrong with the Blog Talk Radio. I attempted to call in, starting 5 minutes before the program, attempted to call in to Blog Talk, was getting nowhere. It just didn't dial. I don't know what was going on, but it's very unnerving, very, very unnerving. So anyway, Clint, are you there?
No, I just tried to call him and it got disconnected. I'm going to try again.
Okay, so we're going to try it again here. Dave Gahari is helping me out here.
Or you could ask him to call the studio if we can't get him. You want me to give you that number?
So I've got the number, 347.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I will have him call the...
Yeah, that might be better, because I tried...
studio. Hang on just a minute. All righty. We will do that. Okay, I just Skyped him, and hopefully he can call in, or we're not going to have a very interesting program today. Although I always have things prepared, just in case, but I really do want to talk with Clint because he's always such a fabulous guest. So he says, give him just a couple of minutes. I think he probably has to run and get his cell phone because he was expecting to do well. He could call that number via Skype, but anyway. We're going to give him a couple of minutes. I think that, excuse me, that most of my listeners know that my feeling about the Memorial Day and about soldiers and about warfare, and it's just, well, as Schmedley Butler said, war is racket. And I do believe that. I believe that war is a racket, that we are doing it simply to for the corporations. Let me just read an email that I got from a listener. Dear Ms. Spangola, yesterday I listened to Eustace Mullins' video talk, probably at some sort of conference in Idaho in 1991. The title of the video on Google or YouTube was Eustace Mullins in Idaho 1991. About midway in, he, let me just get back here to Skype and see what is going on, to see if we can get our guest on, because I don't even think, I'm not even sure I'm connected, to tell you the truth. Don't know whether I'm even connected, whether anybody can hear us. Could somebody in the chat room let me know if I'm on, because I did hear a bloop, and I may not even be connected to the program.
I think you're connected.
Okay, I don't know what that bloop was.
That was me trying to call Clint again.
Oh, gosh. Okay,
I think he's here. Let's see. Try him.
Okay, let's see. Clint, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Flustered, to say the least. I'm used to having board operators, and I don't know what's going on with Skype today and Blog Talk, but I keyed in my password and everything and tried to call Blog Talk, and it just didn't do anything, nothing. So.
All right.
And I tried about 10 times, and of course, trying all those times, you just get more flustered and thinking, I'm very time-oriented, and so when it was 2 minutes after the hour, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's going on? Anyway, okay, I'm going to settle down here. Okay. Clint,
you
welcome.
Poor dear. Thank you.
I was sharing an email that I got from someone that is very relevant to what is geoengineering. So let me just share it with you, and then you can pick it up from there. I'm thinking, and he's thinking that it is very appropriate. Anyway, apparently, about midway into the conversation, Eustace Mullins mentioned on his flight to Idaho that he was looking at the most recent edition of the London Economist magazine and read an article explaining why aluminum is so toxic to the body. 1991 was before chemtrails. I think aluminum is associated with the advent of Alzheimer's. He said that the article reported that the atomic structure of aluminum is remarkably similar to iron, and the body's cells will uptake the aluminum, if available, as readily as the iron the cells actually need. And the listener said, I could not find the London Economist article, but I did find an abstract of a study published in 1991 on this topic, and I'm sharing it with you as a possible interest with Monday's radio topic being geoengineering. And he goes on to state that oftentimes that our body will accept fluoride, which replaces iodine if the body does not have sufficient iodine. So what is your take on that? Is it relevant?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a lot to talk about, actually. Fluoride does a very strange thing in the body. It stops your body from actually absorbing, if I'm not mistaken, minerals. So when you poison a rat, you know, people don't realize this, when you poison a rat, it makes it so the rat can't actually eat. In other words, like, he can eat, but he can't absorb the nutrients. So he's going to die of starvation no matter how much he eats. So if you have fluoride pulsing through your body, which most Americans do, yeah, you're not going to be able to have the mineral uptake and vitamin uptake that you need, because the fluoride is preventing that. That's the whole purpose of fluoride. So that's how you kill with fluoride as a poison. So when you're talking about and of course, what was it that get out my trusty little manual here. What was it that was said in 1936? A report was given to the United States Senate that declared 99% of the American people are deficient in minerals already, and a marked deficiency in any one of the more important minerals actually results in disease. All right, so all the diseases are basically caused from this type of malnutrition. So fluoride in your system is actually causing your body to not absorb those minerals. So that's United States Senate Document 264, 74th Congress, Second Section, 1936. But so the fact that we're putting fluoride into the water obviously is a really stupid thing. As far as aluminum, I think I've finally kind of got an idea of why what's going on with the aluminum, and I found that by looking into deeper. You know, I've looked into prions, and
right.
I've written several
We've
articles.
Talked about that. Yeah.
Right, and it's much more serious than I could have ever imagined. What I found out, and I don't know if I can explain the actual aluminum thing quite yet, but what I've figured out is that this all has to do with inhibiting a part of the body that actually is the natural defense against disease. A long time ago, in fact, it was in Japan, at the Institute for Infectious Diseases at the University of Tokyo, they were basically working on the efficacy, the efficiency of the vaccine for smallpox, and trying to make that darn vaccine work. So they're shooting up these monkeys and research rabbits, trying to make them sick. And for God's sake, they could not make them darn things sick. Something in the body was stopping the process of actually getting them sick so that they could then vaccinate for the sickness. You see, that's how strange the science is. So they called it, in 1954, they called it a viral inhibitory factor. Okay, and it was inhibiting the growth of viral infection, basically. And later on, they came to name this interferon. You ever heard of interferon?
Sure, yes.
Turns out interferon, one of the most important things in your body. And that's what they had to get rid of in order to make vaccines work. Because, of course, the interferon would be your natural way that the body would fight disease. So here's what they did. They called it VIF, viral inhibitory factor, and then they named it interferon. It's an antiviral, which, of course, is what vaccines are supposed to do by creating antibodies. So what does it do? Interferons are proteins, right? What do prions do? But they attack proteins. So I'm pretty sure that everything from I'm 99% sure at this point. I've still got a lot of research to do, but AIDS, cancers, everything you can imagine, all the viral pathogens and everything else are caused because this interferon process was halted by infectious prions, which are just, again, proteins. Interferon proteins, the best way that I can explain it is that let's say you have a healthy cell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, a virus or some other pathogen, whatever it is, attacks that cell. Well, what does your healthy cell do? It actually makes a phone call. All right, and a phone call is the actual interferon. All right, so your healthy cell, says, "Okay, I'm being attacked. I'm being attacked."
I assume they're using a cell phone, right? They're using
a
cell phone.
Yes, exactly. It's a cell phone. That's the best way to explain it. So it sends out a chemical, and the chemical says basically it's like a 911 phone call, like a cell phone call, and it goes into the bone marrow, basically where your system is, your immune system, and your immune system then sends out what are called see if I can remember this, lymphocytes. Okay, that's one of three cells, and those are NK cells, or natural killer cells, B cells, and none other than T cells. Now, if anybody knows anything about the so-called HIV/AIDS, you know it's a problem with T cells. Your body's not producing T cells. You have a low T cell count, and therefore you cannot fight infection. So They found a way to inhibit this system of your cell making a phone call. So basically, what's happening is with cancers, with AIDS, with all these different diseases, most of the modern diseases, your cells are not able to call for help. They can no longer utilize the interferon process, which is making a cell phone call to your body's immune system, and so that it can sell T cells or B cells or natural killer cells, NK cells, to fight the disease, to fight the infection.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So,
and we're talking
so
about a virus here.
Well, this is what they had to do to, in order to get these animals, all right, way back in the 50s, in order to get them sick by injecting them with a virus, they had to inhibit the body's natural system to fight that infection. So they inhibit the body's natural interferon process in order to vaccinate.
Wow.
So you don't need the vaccine if you've got the interferon process.
Sure.
Your body could call for help, in other words. So your interferon, my opinion is that it's prions, but I haven't proven that yet. Most of the patents and everything else point to that. So here's how that ties in with the aluminum. And this is a recent study. And again, I don't know if I'm going to be able to exactly put this into terms that it's very hard to understand, in other words. But aluminum, let me just read this. The differential effect of aluminum on the blood-brain barrier transport of peptides, technetium and albium. So we're talking about aluminum being something that assists or stops something from happening crossing the blood-brain barrier. All right,
mm-hmm.
Very important,
mm-hmm.
because you don't want things in your brain. Aluminum, it says, this is a government .gov website. It's actually a research document. It's an actual mm-hmm. study they did. Aluminum is a neurotoxin capable of altering membrane structure and function. Well, right there,
whoa.
You know, you have an admission.
Yeah,
right. You have an admission.
Yeah.
Let me read that again. Aluminum is a neurotoxin capable of altering membrane structure and function. Okay.
Wow.
We found that aluminum rapidly and profoundly inhibited the saturable system that transports small, what's called N. tyrosinated peptides and enkephalins from the brain to the blood by acting as a non-competitive inhibitor. So it actually inhibits the ability for the blood. Says these findings suggest that one mechanism by which aluminum may induce neurotoxicity is by selective alteration of the transport systems of the blood-brain barrier. So they absolutely 100% know this. Enkephalin is a pentapeptide. It is here it is. It binds to the body's opioid receptors.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't put the pieces together, but I think I understand a lot of this. Here's how it's actually affecting that same enkephalin or the other word I said. I'm horrible with these words. It says the transport system is responsible for the efflux of many therapeutic drugs out of the brain. Recently, it's been shown to transport the endogenous brain opiate endorphin. So in other words, aluminum will actually prevent drugs from leaving the brain. So what happens to people when they are when they go nuts from drugs? Well, aluminum will keep those drugs in the brain.
Oh,
you won't be able to sell them.
Okay, so if somebody takes some drugs, say, so I don't know, 2 years ago, a year ago, and a psychiatric drug, and some of the remnants remain in the brain because of this particular function, that you can have long-term negative effects from taking a drug. It doesn't have to be, well, I took it yesterday, and by next week it'll be gone. If that inhibitor is in there, if you have aluminum in your brain, then it is just not going to, you're not going to be able to get rid of that toxicity. It's still going to affect your thought processes.
Yeah, it'll act as an inhibitor from transporting the pharmaceutical drugs out of the brain. Yes, and it says it's like the endorphin process. Endorphins are basically they define them as a morphine-like substance originating from within the body.
Right.
That's why we have receptors in the body for certain things like opiates.
Oh, sure. Cannabis. Okay. So the body sees that as something that's normal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and it says that unlike endorphins or morphine, this thing we're talking about does not seem to be required for the brain-to-blood transport of the of these things across the blood-brain barrier. So aluminum, it's hard to put this into context, but it's really bad. I mean,
in your film, you did your film, Lethal Injection, The Story of Vaccination, which you released on September 30th, 2011. Now, you addressed, well, vaccines, and I think that you addressed also the thimerosal issue, which is mercury, but they also put aluminum in some vaccines, correct?
Yes.
Would that remain in the brain and function like you're suggesting?
The problem with the Centrum, you know, the multivitamins, 99% of the crap that you get in the store. They are not water soluble. They are in the form of a compound, which means so if you have calcium carbonate, that's basically chalk. So if you're taking calcium carbonate, especially as a woman, your body's actually going to store that calcium carbonate because it's not in a form that is usable by the bones. That's why you look for the true mineral itself and not a compound. A compound is two minerals because they're basically magnetically, if you will, attracted to each other, and they form compounds. They're calcium and carbon, for instance, or chromium and chromium picolinate is, I can't remember what it is, but your body can't actually utilize what's coming in these things. So your body stores that. So you can have osteoporosis in the worst possible way and yet still have stores and stores of calcium carbonate because your body can't break it down.
Oh.
Just like plants need the actual angstrom-sized minerals in the dirt that is broken down by the fulvic acid and everything, your body cannot utilize something that is, for one thing, too large of a size that can't go through the blood-brain barrier, and secondly, something that's in the form of a compound. So if you're putting mercury, some form of mercury or aluminum in your body, it's not going to be pure because the pure type wouldn't actually probably harm you. They used to actually, believe it or not, they used to use mercury lozenges, and because it was pure mercury, it wasn't the dangerous form, a compound form of mercury. So they used to actually utilize mercury in several ways because it wasn't actually harmful to the body until we started playing, you know, scientist and putting it into things. Now, when you inject it in the body, your body's going to hold on to it because it wants to use it, but it can't. It wants to figure out a way that maybe in the future it can break it down and try to use it. Mm-hmm. So that's really what's I think that's really what's happening with the danger of mercury and aluminum in the vaccines. It's not a form that your body can break down, so it's just going to go and pass. It's going to go through your body. It's not going to be forced out. It's just going to sit there. Mm-hmm. And if aluminum itself is something that actually keeps things in the brain, well, yeah, there's a real problem here.
Right, because if you take in things that other toxins, it's just going to retain those toxins on a long-term basis, right?
Yeah, and I think that's really what is the problem with most, you know, disorders, if you will, diseases of the brain, is that type of toxic. Combine that with the prion disease, which I think everybody is probably affected at this point by, if anyone who's had a vaccine at least. And you've got all these basically infectious proteins attaching onto other systems of the body and stopping and preventing things like the interferon process and the ability to absorb minerals. And so, I mean, yeah, it's a recipe for a disaster. I mean, we're literally flooding our body with all kinds of bad things and then preventing the body from being able to absorb the mineral content to actually fight that that problem. Fluoride, again,
sure,
you know, it's designed to starve you.
Right. Oh, gosh. I really believe, I don't think that mankind was created to have injections of any kind. As far as vaccines and things, I think that it's all very insidious. And you have to wonder, just the fact of somebody putting a needle in your body, that's a foreign object. It's a foreign, who knows what's in those things? And you've indicated some of the gross things that are in vaccines. And I wish, I'm sure everybody wishes this, that we could all go back and somehow not have had any vaccines. I have a friend that left the country, went to a foreign country, and submitted to 14 vaccines in a very short period of time because, well, that's what they tell you that you have to do. Now, I've never done that when I've left the country. I say, no, thanks, I'm fine. I don't want any of your vaccines. But people are naive, and they think that, oh, this is going to protect me from some sort of disease in this foreign country, when, in fact, the worst thing they could do is get the vaccines.
This is the crazy part. I mean, this is warned against in the scriptures as well. Scriptures are nothing more than ancient knowledge, okay? Passed on from story to story to story, from book to book to book. That's all scripture is. It's ancient knowledge. What does it tell you? It tells you a perfect diet to eat to have a long life. It tells you not to do exactly what scientists are doing today, which is cross species genetics. All right? I wish people could really fathom this, and it is not hard to find. It's not hard to understand. It's not hard to prove very simply. When you inject something into your body, you're bypassing every natural function to prevent disease from that thing. Disease, separate the word, dis and ease. All disease means is that your body is not at ease. It doesn't mean it's a thing or a, it just means that your body's not working correctly. So that's what disease is. If you inject, I mean, I always like to use squalene because it's a pretty easy one to understand, but we can also use what else was in the documentary, but porcine zona pellucida is the ovaries of a pig. Okay, they put that in both the human and animal vaccines, and that is what gives you sterilization. I mean, the U.S. Geological Survey has been sterilizing horses. They have a 90% success rate with sterilization of horses, and all they're doing is injecting a part of a pig, which is the ovary, and it goes and it creates antibody response to your own reproductive capacity. It interferes with so any part of any animal, and remember, the vaccine inserts very clearly say that when vaccines are grown on human aborted fetal tissue that was cloned, and it's right in the inserts, they cannot get that DNA and the protein structures that are so small. They cannot filter that out of the final product. So whatever they're growing these vaccines on, be it animal or be it human, for God's sake, human, cell substrate.
Right.
You're going to get something of that human or that animal into your body, and your body is going to fight whatever it is. If it's they use squalene. Squalene from sharks, then your body's going to fight your own natural process of producing squalene. Squalene is like a lubricant for your joints. Why do you think so many people have joint problems and I mean, it's like an insidious chemical weapon that they're injecting into your body knowingly, and knowingly it is going to cause a reaction, an antibody reaction, to fight that that foreign thing. But the problem is it's so similar to your own body that your body starts fighting itself. It's so frustrating. It's in the patents. It's in the... the whole reason they designed this thing, and that's in the documentary as well, like the sterilization vaccines is specifically for sterilization. And yet that's what they're growing vaccines on? I mean, we're in crazy land here.
Yeah. Well, just in the subject of foreign DNA in your body, look at the organ transplant industry, where you have to take medication for the rest of your life so that your body does not reject somebody else's kidney or somebody else's heart.
Well, that's
yes, because
it's crazy.
Because your DNA is exclusively yours.
Yeah, it's crazy. They, even when a negative blood and a positive blood woman mate, they have to, in order for your body not to fight the baby who will have a different blood type than the mother, and in order for the blood to mix, they have to give the mother drugs to defeat the immune system. So if you're when they transplant parts of either, and this is the crazy part, they're doing what's called xenotransplantation, which is a foreign animal transplantation into humans. Again, very much warned against all of this craziness. They have to completely suppress the immune system in order for that to happen, because you're, again, just like stopping the interferon process, they have to stop the process of the body fighting the infection, which that's exactly what it is. I mean, I have a friend with a pig vein in his arm from long ago because they didn't have any human ones to transplant. This is nuts. This is absolutely nuts. So... You're altering the body's natural immune system just to make a profit. That's what you're doing. That's
holy
the unfortunate
truth. Right, and they do it so in so many instances. I received an envelope. I don't know from which organization, but I couldn't even open it. I just knew what was inside that envelope. I think I'm on every animal advocates list because I get probably one every day asking for money to save this animal or that animal. And this one had a picture. I could see it through the envelope, born just to die, and it was a mare. And I think it was probably, these horses are raised just for their urine, for making Premarin, which is what is that? It's a hormonal thing when women go through menopause, which is a natural thing that your body does. I mean, it's not a disease or anything. They'd like to medicalize everything that happens just in our lives, just to make a profit.
Well, and this is, talk about the fallacy that America is. I mean, America, from the Western front, the Western lands, wild horses roam, right? And what have we done? We have this is where the sterilization process is coming in. They want to get rid of this life form, this protected life, so that they can mine and drill oil and frack and do all these things. So they're literally sterilizing 90%. And if that number doesn't sound familiar to people, it really should. 85 to 90% sterilization rate, that's population control. You understand?
Yes,
That is population control. And this vaccine, this pig ovary called Zona Pellucida, porcine zona pellucida, that is in human and horse vaccines. It can be administered either once every year for sterilization or in a major way. It can be a permanent sterilization of both male and female. They've been caught doing this in Africa. I mean, Obama is, for God's sake, responsible for this. The forced sterilization. They're forced sterilizing the Ethiopian Jews in Israel. If you're Ethiopian and you want to be Jew, you have to take a sterilization vaccine so you don't have any more kids, for God's sake. Wow. I mean, this is open to the public. You know?
And this is also occurs on Indian reservations here in this country that for years they have used sterilization drugs. And then when you look at the new Gardasil, which was, it came into being, I don't remember which year, but it has killed a lot of people, and you have to ask yourself, well, what is it for? I mean, it's very, very harmful. I've had people on the program who've been victimized by it, who've taken this drug, and it didn't kill them, but it made them so incredibly ill that it was just, they're never going to have a normal life. I mean, because it's been that destructive.
Yeah, and I think that people can't comprehend that once you induce that vaccine, and vaccine just means to inject into the body. Okay, that's what vaccine actually means. It doesn't mean anything else. It just means to inject something into your body. It can be anything,
right.
You know.
Right.
It doesn't mean medicine. Well, once you induce that chain reaction with the sometimes hundreds of ingredients in vaccines, what do you think your body is going to do to all of those things that are now all of a sudden, you know, past the all of the checks and balances of your body? What do you think? I mean, people can't comprehend that all of our bodies out here, including my own, is in a constant state of basically, if you will, antibody stimulation, basically, to fight all of the different things that we're injecting into our bodies. Now, this is not the same as eating something, because if you eat something, it has to go through the natural protective process. I just got done with some horrible, horrible food poisoning. Now, if I would have injected that poison,
I'd probably be dead.
But because it went through my stomach and my body would not accept it, for God's sake, I don't even want to tell you.
So were you at a restaurant?
Yeah, a friend brought me some Chinese food, and it was not good.
I should stick to my organics.
No, it was perfectly perfectly fresh. But the point is, I survived it because my body has a process, a natural process to stop that type of infection. But if you inject it into your body, and please understand, folks, that this is not something, it's not just injecting disease. It's injecting dirt into your body. It's injecting metals and different things. These are not diseases. These are things that your body will create a disease because it has to fight that thing. And when it creates the antibody response, or whatever it does to that thing, from dirt to whatever, then you're it's going to start attacking other natural processes in the body, and that's really where most disease is coming from. We've talked about prions. Not my personal belief after years of study now is that all neurological, you know, your Alzheimer's, your ALS, even found multiple sclerosis to be a prion disease. In fact, I found this the other day. Let's see if I can find it. It says, again, this is a research project from the government website. It says the etiology of multiple sclerosis is unknown. You look at any disease out there that is a modern neurological disease, all of them, Every one of them are unknown, which to me is amazing, because, you know, how many doctors and nurses are so arrogant in their prescription of drugs to fight something that they don't even know is the cause of the disease. So
exactly.
It's unknown.
Exactly.
It says MS. Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking about blood transfusions. I mean, that's the same principle. Who knows what's in that blood?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, how many times have we heard it? We remember Factor VIII?
Yeah.
You remember what happened with that? Factor VIII, they were giving people infections they say HIV is what leads to AIDS. I don't believe that for a second. I believe AIDS is actually a blood cancer, just like any other thing. And as we were talking about,
sure.
The reason it's not being fought is because the interferons are being messed with, so your body's not producing T cells because your cells can't make a phone call and tell your body that they're in trouble. It says existing epidemiologic data suggests that MS, multiple sclerosis, can be an infectious disease. Classified as one of the slow infections. See, slow infections. That's exactly. And it says many of these are caused by prions. Prions are small proteinaceous infectious particles, distinguished from viruses by the absence of intrinsic nucleic acids. It says this may explain the differences in disease presentation with multiple sclerosis, because these things are not, they attach to proteins, so they're not picky, I guess, is the point.
Sure.
The assumption is that MS is a prional disease, in other words, caused by prions, and the process leading to demyelination in multiple sclerosis. That's one of the symptoms of that vaccine you were talking about. I can't think of what it was, the one that's giving so many people problems.
Mm-hmm.
Demyelination. Gardasil. Yeah, that was one of the big problems with that. So it says processes leading to the demyelination and multiple sclerosis seem to involve lymphocytes, which is just what we were just reading, and macrophages, as well as the interferon system.
Right.
This is right from government research. So
now we have all these issues, but how do we counter these things? Obviously, we can't go back. I wish we could go back and we could all start over with fresh bodies and not get any vaccines, but that's just not the case.
Well,
what do we
do
now that we're all... Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I just interviewed... have you ever interviewed Ed McCabe?
No.
Mr. Ox. You gotta get him on sometime. He was a fantastic interview. And his book is called Flood Your Body with Oxygen. And oxygen... oxygen. Yeah, he's been around since the 80s. He's been on all the major talk shows, but the TV shows. But he says that miracles basically can happen with just oxygen alone. And that's just one aspect of it. The oxygen kills, any bad thing in your body is basically anaerobic, meaning it can't breathe oxygen, can't live in an oxygen environment. So he was having a lot of success with everything from AIDS to, you name it, any disease that's anaerobic, which is basically all disease. And if you just flood your body with oxygen, all of a sudden, your diseases die. They can't live in the system. So he actually promotes a system, and I can't remember what it's called at the moment, but it's sort of like dialysis, where you can actually inject, you're taking blood out of the body in one arm and putting it back in the other, so you're actually all you're doing is cleaning the blood. So you know how you hear on television.
You aerate it, then. Okay.
Yeah, well, exactly. You're oxygenating. What do you hear all the time with cleaning products that are being sold to you? They're oxygenated, right? Mm-hmm. We use oxygen, OxyClean, Oxy this, Oxy that. Well, it's the same thing. It's oxygen is like the most, and peroxide and ozone is like the most natural cleaning agent for the body you can possibly have. It's so logical and reasonable and easy when you just think about it. He's basically saying that the oxygen levels in our bodies have been attacked as well. Fluoride, all these drugs. attack the oxygen levels. And, of course, when you drink a soda, a carbonated soda, well, that carbonation actually attacks the body's ability to absorb oxygen. So even the healthiest runner can drink a Coke before running and not have any oxygen to run. So, you know, it's just there's things you can certainly do. That is probably one thing I'm going to really start looking into is oxygen therapy. And I'll pass you on his information. He was a really fantastic, interview.
But you have to take, you have to aerate your blood somehow.
Certainly, there's different ways.
Yeah.
I used to work for the airlines, and I would go into the taking tickets, and I'd go up, and a couple of the pilots that I knew would always let me go up into the cockpit. If I was feeling tired at all, I would get on there and I would put on their oxygen mask. It's the best drug you can ever take, and I didn't realize it. But I mean, if you suck pure oxygen, it's one of the best things. You could run a mile no problem. So you don't think about how powerful oxygen is, but I mean, you know, the way he puts it is, you know, stop breathing right now. And tell me how long you can last. Don't take
sure.
a breath. Just stop breathing. And,
well, I would rather take oxygen in from a source like that than to take my blood out of one arm and put it in the other. I just don't think I ever want to have another needle in my arm.
I agree. Although I will say that after looking into it a little bit, it's a very, very successful way to combat these, and that is why doctors will not do it. That's why you won't find it anywhere in the United States. If they do it, they do it to themselves and maybe a few people and no one else, and they do it under the table.
So you have to leave the country to have that done?
Fairly popular in other countries, yes.
Okay. Wow.
Like I said, I'd like to look into it and get something going on it, because now that I see it.
Just get a job at the airport, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or go and get an oxygen tank from, I don't know where you get an oxygen tank. I know I've seen people walking around with them. Huh, amazing.
As far as like everything, you know, the assault that we've done on our bodies through our whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's, besides that oxygen concept, there's, like I said, most of the problems. Ed McCabe, Mr. Oxygen, he. You know, there's rules and laws out there that says you can't diagnose and you can't treat. You can either write about the problem or you can make products, but you can't do both. So he came up with a pretty. I looked at it, and to me, it was a pretty good product line, because he acknowledged the need for. Minerals as opposed to compounds, and
right.
So he does have some good products. And remember, most important part about this is that your body is ill because it is missing all you are is a series of minerals and water, basically.
Right.
Water but oxygen. So
right.
You know, everything can be traced to a mineral deficiency, almost every problem in your body. And a lot of these types of drugs and pharmaceuticals and fluoride and everything else are designed specifically to halt the process of, you know, uptake of
mineral absorption.
Things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I take a lot of vitamins, but I do take minerals, but I think it's something that we all need to look into. And I also think that we ought to filter our water, but it's just the thing that I see that makes me so upset is all of these babies are they now receive just multiple vaccines, usually at the same time. And then they are also, the pharmaceutical industry is also targeting the under five children with psychiatric drugs, which to me is just a death sentence. It's just it's mind control. It is they want to have all these people under their control. And certainly, well, if you're sick and you can't think for yourself, and when you're on pharmaceutical drugs, you're pretty much under somebody else's control. You're just not you're not yourself. You're not what you are meant to be. You're not going to reach your potential. It's just it just makes me so sad.
Yeah, I remember, you know, reading several, including Huxley, I believe, you know, the concept of vaccinating against the religious sentiment, the concept of vaccinating against empathy, vaccinating against all kinds of spirituality type of functions of the brain. And I believe that's exactly what's happened.
Right. And I see, well, we see it in society. At least in talking with people years ago, when you talk to somebody, you just naturally assume that they were Christian or something like that. And now it's almost, well, I was at a dinner party last Christmas, and she said, the lady next to me, we'd been chatting for the longest time and just really enjoying each other's company, and she said, could I ask you a personal question? And she felt like she had to whisper in my ear. She said, do you believe in God? And I mean, years ago, there was no doubt that everybody believed in God. Well, most people, the majority of people. But now it has become something that people feel like they have to be hush-hush about it, that you can't talk publicly about such things. And this was part of the psychiatric agenda, was to get rid of the idea of right and wrong and to get rid of religion, to get rid of all the religious dogma, because after they did that, then people would be more easily controlled. And of course, you also see the destruction of the family. I mean, it just seems like there's so many entities working on the same objectives in very, very different ways. Whether you're talking about that.
Well, I can say.
Go ahead.
I can say safely that I was one of those people that grew up in a time when religion was being. I won't say religion. I would say the knowledge within the sacred books of religion that is not taught to the parishioners of corporate churches. I would say the knowledge in the Bible, the actual written knowledge in the Bible, is probably the most important thing that you can teach your children, not from the purview of a corporate church, but actually, I mean, we've been exploring this topic a lot on my show, and in fact, you know, I basically came out with a mini dictionary of the Bible that shows all these terms from the 1611 authorized version of the law, which is the Bible. They are all legal terms. And unless you understand what's in the Bible, and please keep in mind, churches do not teach what is being said in the Bible. They actually teach the opposite. I'm not sure how this took place, but they'll teach. A perfect example is the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually read the full chapter, which I, at the moment, I can't think of what it is. I think it was Matthew. But if you read the full thing, it says, you know, we used to say this in groups, basically. We'd chant it in church, in my Methodist church that I grew up in. And yet, right before the Lord's Prayer in the Bible, in the same chapter, it specifically says, do not pray in groups. Go in a closet and pray. Never pray in front of people. Right? And yet here we are doing the exact opposite of what the Bible says and almost mocking what the Bible says by chanting it together in church for the purposes of basically what the Bible says, which is, you know, you don't need to show people what your spirituality is. You don't have to do that. You don't have to show people. It's in you. This is all supposed to be a personal thing, your spiritual journey. So everything in the Bible, it turns out, is everything that I'm finding in church, in most of the corporate churches out there, are actually completely, if you will, anti-Christian. They're not Christian in any way, shape, or form. And Christianity is a way of life. It is not a way of death. It is a way to live. One of those ways is to tell you what not to put in your body, what to eat, what to avoid. I mean, there's so much valuable information in the Bible, and it's all basically hidden because it's never acknowledged, because the corporate church is just focused on pure, again,
collecting money and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it asks for money, which is against the Bible. I mean, everything the church does is against the Bible, and that's the amazing part. If there's any atheists out there that don't like talking about this, I'm telling you right now, read the Bible, because it is your best weapon against religion. The Bible is one of the most incredible, important books you will ever, ever read, and it is the greatest tool against organized corporate religion you'll ever come across. Absolutely incredible. So, I mean, I've for the first time in my life, I started reading the thing, and if you understand the terminology, the language, and you consider that all those words are legal words, the origin of the legal language, basically, it tells you how not to be enslaved in government and church. It's really amazing.
Let me share a comment from the chat room. This is from the Mercola site, and one of our listeners said, an apple in 1950 had as much iron as 26 apples had in 1998. In other words, even if you eat organic apples or organic food, I think the soil is so depleted of minerals that our food has drastically changed. And I think you could also incorporate the kind of fertilizer that people have been using since World War II, produced by, the chemical companies, same people that produce so-called medicines.
Yeah, and I concur with that statement, not only because I believe it's true, but because, again, that's congressional record. I mean, they very often will talk about this in Congress. If you look, you can find some of the presentations in Congress, and they'll tell you, the soil content, especially things like magnesium, one of the most missing elements in soils, magnesium. And magnesium is probably second important to your body, only calcium is probably the more important thing. But they, in order for them to work, they have to bind together within the body. They can't be bound together before you put them in your body, but once they're in there, they work together. And then you have chromium, the third most important. And you have, it goes down the list, and you need all of these things in order for your body to work properly. And if you have no magnesium in the soil for vegetables to assimilate, to feed on, then you're not going to get any in your vegetables. And that's where supplementation comes in. That's the problem, is that most of the supplements out there are already bound in a compound form that your body cannot use. So you're just going to pee them out, basically. I mean, or you're going to store them, and they're never going to be used.
Sure. Wow.
So, very true statement.
Wow. There's a magnesium oil that you can rub all over your body, which I think is pretty good. I have a bottle of that. And calcium, well, I think if you drink raw cow's milk from cows that are grass-fed, I think that's helpful. But there are sources that you can use, but you really have to plan your diet so that you're not eating just a bunch of empty food.
I think you have to look at your body differently, and that was one of the real hard things for me. You have to separate your consciousness, your soul, if you will, and your body, and you have to say, okay, what is my body? And trust me, this is how science thinks of it. Your body is a big compost pile. It's active. You feed it. It ferments. It does all these things. You've got to understand that your body is an organic machine and that it is basically functions on nothing but minerals, metals, and elements like oxygen. So stop thinking of it as a... Stop thinking of it as part of you and more of a vessel that you need to take care of, just like your car or you need to change the oil, you need to do all these things. And if you start thinking of it in that way and you separate the essence of you from the body, mm-hmm. you can actually say, well, you can take an impartial look at it. You can say, well, okay, this is, I have a disease here because I'm missing. If I have diabetes, for instance, mm-hmm. the reason for diabetes is actually known, surprisingly. It's one of the few things that is known, it seems like, and that is because your body is not able to absorb or produce? Chromium. Chromium is what causes diabetes. So if you can actually get yourself chromium in the right proportion, in the right function, or the right mineral, angstrom size, mm-hmm. Microscopic size, then you can actually heal your body instead of treating the symptom and injecting yourself mm-hmm. with a pharmaceutical form of insulin. You actually treat the body for what is causing the disease.
Sure.
Oh, my God, that's heresy. But it says right in the Merck manual that diabetes is absolutely a deficiency in chromium. Like I said, everything
right.
is a deficiency in a mineral. So
right. Now, you can buy a bottle of trace minerals in a liquid form to add to water or whatever. Go ahead.
The problem with first of all, forget vitamins. Vitamins don't work without the proper minerals. So if you're vitamin deficient, it means you're mineral deficient. Minerals must be there before vitamins can do anything. That's just the way the body assimilates vitamins through the mineral. See, everything, it's like your whole body is minerals. So,
okay, yeah.
Oh crap, what was the question?
I was talking about trace minerals and adding it to water.
Oh, yes,
and
yes. Well, like I said, now, Ed McCabe had a product that he created, and it's because he had studied all of these previous scientists and researchers, Linus Pauling and all those guys, H-Rod does the same thing. You can have a multi mineral supplement as long as you mimic nature. Mimic nature, that simply means that you have to mix or sell the product. I think it's better to mix it, but if you have a bottle of minerals, all those minerals are going to stick together. They're naturally going to look for each other to try to do something, right? That's what they
mm-hmm.
do in your body. They're building.
Mm-hmm.
They're little builders.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to prevent that process, if, for instance, a plant in the soil, you have fulvic acid. The fulvic acid breaks down the minerals while they're in their compound form into their trace minerals. So the plant roots can't pick up compounds either. They must
mm-hmm.
pick up the trace minerals. That's why it's so important to have the mineral content in the soil. So you're if you're going to take a multivitamin, stay away from what you find in the stores. I'll tell you, I can almost guarantee that 99% of that's going to be crap. The only way that you can put these things into your body and make them useful is if they are not in the compound form. The only way to do that is either take them individually, which is what H-Rot sells, or to and there's others, or to take them with a folic acid, and there's another acid, I can't remember the name, it's an acid that actually prevents the compound process, and so you're actually able to take a multivitamin. It's not as effective as taking them individually.
Yeah, I don't take a multivitamin. I don't do that.
But if you're going to, that's the way to do it.
There are major minerals and trace minerals. And calcium, it looks like calcium is the one that is at the top, that is 2% of the total body weight, or should be. And then phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, chlorine, sodium, fluorine. Oh, and that's sodium. This big campaign several years ago, people should reduce their salt intake.
There was a lot of those. A lot of things you shouldn't eat, even though they're really good for you. Go figure that out.
Right.
Sea salt. Do not eat table salt. That's all I can say.
Good source of sea salt. Yeah, that pink salt, it's from the Himalayan salt. I use that.
Yeah, table salt actually does the opposite of sea salt. A good example would be if anybody out there's ever done a salt flush type of diet, a detox, where the idea is to take salt water flush. Well, if you do that with table salt, instead of you basically put a bunch of salt in hot water, drink it, and it goes right through you, it cleans you out. Well, if you do that with table salt, the table salt will keep it will bind, it will stay in there, and you won't be able to expel the water, and you'll get sick. Okay, that's a good way of telling the difference between salt water and table. Table salt.
Sure. Right. Huh. Well, I've had a doctor on that says that he actually drinks seawater, don't know that he does it regularly and every day or exclusively, but yeah, he said that that it was okay. Interesting.
Hey, this one little sentence in this. I want people to listen to this very carefully. This is the same. This is about prion infection. Prion. It says many viruses have evolved to evade the innate immune system, including interferon 3 mediated signaling. So remember, interferon is part of the cell phone, you know, the part of the phone call, right? Okay.
Right.
So, all right. So viruses have evolved, meaning they've been altered genetically to evade the innate immune system, including interferon. Here's what it says. It says, for instance, an active mutant of IRF3, which is interferon, has been reported to exert a markedly suppressive effect on cellular HIV-1 infection. An administration of, I don't know what that is, potentially inhibits HIV-1 replication in microglia through pathways requiring interferon-3. So it says HIV itself does not activate IRF3, but rather decreases interferon protein in HIV-1 infected cells. So it decreases interferon proteins, which are, again, the cell carriers in HIV-infected cells. So AIDS... This is why I say it's a prion disease caused by interferon prevention, basically.
Right.
And it says likewise, prion, I mean, it's right here, folks. Prion infection might disturb the activation of interferon 3. I mean, it says it right. I mean, they know that this is what's happening. They know that they're delivering prions because it's almost impossible not to, because you can't filter them out. They know that they're delivering these things in the vaccine process. Do not get vaccinated. I'm telling you. This is, you're inviting a disease, you're inviting a prion infection, and I've now discovered that prions, I used to think they were just part of the brain. Now I know that they're everywhere in the body, and you actually have natural protector prions. So if the infectious prions attack your protector prions and they misfold them, all of a sudden you have no protection against cancer. Cancer comes in, infects the cell. Your cell can't call out to get help. And I'm telling you, folks, this is the greatest, if you will, conspiracy in scientific medicine. I'm shocked that this is not more public, because it's all happening. It's all in the studies. They're patenting them. They're improving them. But they're not doing anything to help people who've been infected over the years.
Right. Now, what companies are primarily responsible for all of this? We know that Merck and anybody that makes vaccines, do all of the people who make vaccines know about this, and that this is a deliberate kind of a thing that they're doing? They do understand what they're doing.
I think it's just as deliberate as the fact that they know about 2D6, which, and other cytokines. 2D6 being about 15% of the population, I think myself included, does not have this 2D6, which is an uptake thing. So again, the drugs, you inject me with an antipsychotic, or you give me a pill, I will turn crazy, because I don't have the function in my body, the 2D6, to actually do anything to regulate that.
And the reason is because you were vaccinated, and because you have probably aluminum or something else.
I think there's a certain population that doesn't have the ability to. I think that's where all your school shootings and everything else are coming from, are people who, because literally, I mean, it from personal experience, it will turn you into an antipsychotic is one molecule away from LSD. All right, that's all it is.
Right.
So you're playing with fire, and the pharmaceutical companies for at least, I think, 15 years, I would say, have known about this 2D6. There's a test you can take for it. It's cheap if you go to Australia and do it. It's a DNA test. I mean, you can – they know about it, and they know – it's kind of like the insurance, the automobile companies. Well, we have a problem with our car, but only 15% of the people are going to have a problem. 10% might die from it. 5% might get injured. Let's not recall it, because we'll make more money if we don't recall it. That's basically what they're doing with our health.
Sure, absolutely. I agree with that, because the side effects are not going to get everybody. Everybody that takes the same, say for instance, in the same age group, if they take the same amount of a particular drug, does not mean that they are going to suffer the same side effects, because everybody has different immune system responses, correct?
Right, nor are you going to have the same time period where that thing is going to affect you. Like I said, each person's body will fight differently, and each vaccine, for God's sake, is not the same.
Right.
There's different toxins and different neurotoxins, different proteins, different DNA from different animals.
Sure. Oh,
every vaccine. Yes. So, I mean, it's your body. Some people's body are going to immediately fight it and start affecting their own system detrimentally right away.
Sure.
In years. Sometimes, like prions, for example, prion infection, those suckers can lay dormant for up to 50 years in the body before they activate.
Oh, my gosh.
So, right. I mean, you could be passing these on to your children. I mean, it's a really – we've done ourselves – and we've gone against logic, reason, and we've done exactly what, again, the scriptures have told us not to. We've started playing God. We've started trying to improve on things which you know, are not meant to be improved on, and this is the result. Literally, you know, to put it plainly, and I've said this before and I stick to it, medicine has turned into cannibalism. Cannibalism.
Yeah.
Why is cannibalism bad? Go read the story of Kuru, and you'll understand why cannibalism is bad. We're not eating, well, we are actually, but we're actually injecting cannibalism into our bodies instead of, you know, outright eating it. We have aborted fetal tissue cells in the makeup that you put on your face. We are becoming a really disgusting culture, and we don't even know we're doing it. That's the sad part.
Well, it's because we aren't doing it. It's because of those big corporations that you talk about so well, and so with so much knowledge,
I gotta tell you this, you know, among a few other things, should be the only thing that anybody is talking about in the medical field. This should be the only thing we're talking about. As far as what to do in the future of medicine is to stop this, first of all, and I believe that there is, I won't say a cure, but there's certainly a way to prevent and stop what has this like chain reaction that we've done. I've seen several patents. I can't think of them at the moment, but they're ways to prevent prion infection from spread. I know that the cure is out there for most of these diseases that we say we don't know what they are. I'm telling you, I know what they are. They're hiding this from people. This should be the only thing that should be on the topic of anyone running for president. I mean, for God's sake, this is...
That's not going to happen.
Well, yeah, that's the problem.
Right. Now you mentioned LSD. It's very interesting that Eli Lilly is the first American producer of LSD in this country, and they are one of the first companies to produce the SSRI class drug, which was Prozac. Isn't that kind of interesting?
Oh, pure coincidence, Deanna. Pure coincidence.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say? That's
right.
You wanted to talk about the chemtrail thing?
No, not especially. That was in the email that I received. And it certainly is a way to disseminate, aluminum and all the other things that they put in there.
Well, did you see this? Did you see the degrees, the college courses now in geoengineering?
No. Now, yes, your article, Degrees in Geoengineering and Sustainable Development, which reminds me that in the beginning of the program, I did not tell the listeners what your website is because I was so flustered and so unprofessional. But your website is Reality Blogger, with one G, Reality Blogger, one word, realityblogger.wordpress.com. And if you visit that website, then just click on the article. It says Degrees in Geoengineering and Sustainable Development. So tell us about those degrees.
Isn't it crazy? I was listening to Dane Wigington's latest foray into all this, and I said, how is it possible that there's so many experts in the field of mirroring when basically no one agrees that it'll even work or do anything? So I decided to look into to see if I could actually go to school for it. There's got to be someone, right? And I was like floored. I was shocked at what I found. The fact that every major prestigious university in the world is now offering degrees in geoengineering. And what they've done is they've combined all of the functions from land, sea, and air, basically, all the atmospheric, oceanic, mining, and everything else, and they've funneled it all into one big program, and they're selling this to kids as a degree to save the world, save the planet.
Wow.
Save social engineering. And I could not believe as I'm reading this and I'm copying these things over. Let me just give you an example. Gradschools.com, which helps you find these degrees, and it lists just all kinds of different schools. It says, geoengineering graduate programs. Geoengineering is also known as environmental engineering. It refers to the process of intervening in the Earth's climate system for the purpose of mitigating climate change. So there you go. You can get a degree in playing God, basically. It encompasses two primary practices, carbon dioxide removal and solar radiation management. It says geoengineering is a relatively new field. Graduate programs may include ocean technology, civil environmental engineering, geological engineering, aerospace engineering, GPS technology, etc. Which just floored me, it said students pursuing graduate degrees in these areas may take classes ranging from earthquake engineering.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me clear my throat. Earthquake engineering to dynamics of ocean structures. Yes.
Wow.
So then you can go to...
Look at all the earthquakes, or not earthquakes, but look at all of the sinkholes. Would those be considered something that was engineered, or is that from fracking, which is another issue that's...
You know, that is a really, really good question. I don't know. Fracking, it might be the fracking, but it's also, I call the oil and gas companies, I call them the water thieves. They're the ones that have taken all the water out of the...
Oh, right. Sure are.
Because they take all the natural gas and the oil out of the ground. They replace it with the water.
Right. With
chemicals,
too.
That's where the water is coming from. So,
sure.
And then, of course, the water is not the same density as the oil, so it starts leaking, it starts seeping out, you know, absorbing.
Sure.
And then now you're left with these giant holes, giant caverns underground. I would say, if anything, that's a big part of what's causing sinkholes. But I don't know. That would be my guess.
That's what I think, too.
We go to UC Berkeley. All these prestigious schools. It says the objective of the Energy, Civil Infrastructure, and Climate, or ECIC program, is to educate professionals who will be able to analyze from engineering, environmental, economic, and management perspectives, complex problems such as energy efficiency of buildings, environmentally informed design of transportation systems, embodied energy of construction materials, electricity from renewable sources and biofuels, and address such overarching societal problems as mitigation of greenhouse gas emissions and adaptation of infrastructure to changing climate. This is climate science. And then this is the important part. You heard all that and you thought, well, wait a minute, that sounds like Agenda 21, doesn't it?
Sure.
Civil infrastructure systems are the backbone of society, and they are also major users of energy that needs to be reduced for more sustainable development.
Right.
Geoengineering, climate change, all of the fear, they've combined it into sustainable development. So now your kids are going to be going to school and they're going to get degrees in sustainable development, Agenda 21, which includes climate change, but includes geoengineering. Geoengineering meaning many, many different things. Columbia University calls it a Master of Science in Earth Resources Engineering and includes sustainable development and environmental quality. We are entering into a time of insanity, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. isn't that where all quack science comes from? It's from the Harvard and Rutgers and all these places. Yeah. That has always been the case, whether you're talking about the Royal Society in England, where they literally controlled all the scientific data, they controlled all the scientific experimentation, and that's what they, in quotation marks, what they do. And certainly if that's,
you gotta understand that this is being sold. Okay, in other words, it's a product.
Legitimizing
it. It's a $100,000 degree that you can get from Oxford University or from Stanford or from Harvard. All right, mm-hmm. Those are all in here, from MIT especially. This University of Texas, Center for Integrated Earth System Science, sustainability. So they're packaging it all together and they're selling it to this new generation of kids as if they're going to save the planet as they drive their Priuses to college, and recycle and do all these things, never addressing any of the actual problems. But actually trying to mitigate the effects of those evil humans on this earth, right? That's what they're saying. They're going to save the planet, Deanna. They can spend $100,000, go into debt for the rest of their lives to become a climate scientist or a geological engineer, an environmental engineer, and save the planet. And you see, they need people on the ground. They need people because they're actually seeding the oceans too. They're putting crap in the oceans to try to make the oceans more alkaline or acidic. I can't remember. They're doing it to the whole system. I know.
They're killing sea life all over the world. I mean, it's just awful.
We're watching the end. We're watching the fifth extinction happen, and it's happening not. It's happening despite us, but it's also happening quicker because of the crap that we're doing and the stuff they put in here is just Harvard University Center for the Environment says solar engineering is the concept of deliberately cooling the earth by reflecting a small amount of inbound sunlight back into space. Harvard University.
Right.
Solar geoengineering research around the world. There's a growing number of publicly funded geoengineering research programs around the world, according to Harvard University. Let me read you Oxford University, their geoengineering program. It says at Oxford University, University of Oxford, we can see that a program already exists. What is geoengineering? Geoengineering is their definition. Geoengineering is the deliberate, large-scale intervention in the Earth's natural systems to counteract climate change. They offer courses in solar radiation management. There is a wide range of proposed techniques, solar radiation management. Let me read you a few of these. This is the ones I'm really concerned with. It's one thing to mess with the air, But man, if you're messing with our oceans as well, ocean fertilization, adding nutrients to the ocean in selected locations to increase primary production, which draws down carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, enhanced weathering, exposing large quantities of minerals that will react with carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and storing the resulting compound in the ocean or the soil. And finally, this is Oxford University, ocean alkalinity enhancement, grinding up, dispersing, and dissolving rocks such as limestone, silicates, or calcium hydroxide in the ocean to increase its ability to store carbon and directly ameliorate ocean acidification.
Oh, my gosh. You have to actually, and you addressed this already, you have to get rid of God in order to have all this fly.
I believe I never would have agreed with you. I never would have understood what that meant before, you know, maybe a year or two ago. I never would have agreed with you, but now I understand.
Because people who believe in God would never do this stuff. They would never agree to do this stuff. And so I think that it was kind of a double whammy. Okay, get rid of God in order to get rid of values and change culture. But it wasn't just to change culture. It was to change the physical earth. And in order to do that, you have to totally eliminate God from everything.
Well, it's the acknowledgement, you know, whatever your opinion of God is. And so I always try to speak to the lowest common denominator. Most people don't, you know, I don't. I certainly don't claim to know what God is. I don't think it's a bearded man in the sky. But I will say this. I do understand that there is certainly something much higher than man. And I certainly understand that the concept of religion, if you will, or the concept of this ancient knowledge that's passed down in the scriptures, in the Bible and other books, is to respect nature. Because if anything,
yes,
God is nature. And if you understand that the concept, that the belief, if you will, belief, again, is a legal term. It means something other than what we've been conditioned. But if you put your faith in, again, faith being a financial instrument, what do? We put our faith in a flag and a country,
mm-hmm,
instead of in God, right? So if,
mm-hmm,
you put your faith in nature and you put your faith in God, you don't want to change that. You don't want to play God. Someone already did that, right?
Right.
So if you take that concept away and you take away the concept that everything is set up pretty much, you know, into perfection, and you throw that out and you say, no, we can improve this. Well, isn't that the whole point? Even the Ten Commandments, people don't want to look at the Ten Commandments. When it says, you know, no idolatry, all that's really saying is respect nature.
Right.
Respect God, respect nature. Anybody can accept that. You don't have to be religious to understand that is a concept, a teaching tool, if anything else, that this is not something we should do. Particles are to be injected into the stratosphere. No. Delivery by aircraft, balloons, or ballistics. No, 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 no. That is that is not the intention of nature. That is going against God, against nature. It's very simple. You don't have to be a religious zealot to understand what it means. It's a teaching tool.
Sure.
And obviously, like you said, the universities seem to be one of government's main tools of craziness. I agree.
Right. Academia and the government and the corporations all seem to work together to get rid of people. The pharmaceutical companies don't want to get rid of all of us, because then they would have nothing from which to make profit. But they certainly want to make us really, really sick, and some of us are going to die because of what they're doing. But those three entities, academia, and the government and the corporations. They're in bed together, and it's pretty awful. When you were talking about nature and the appreciation of nature, I find it interesting that one of the ethnic groups in this country that knows the most about nature are, although they haven't always abided by certain principles, are the Indians. I mean, they have kind of a respect for the earth. They don't ever feel like they can own a piece of property because it isn't ownable. It's not something that you own. Right.
Yeah. Well, and that's the same thing that's happening with, you know, when we came here and mm-hmm. we wanted that land, we couldn't just take the land. We had to remove the people, just like we have to remove the horses. So we have to remove, just like in Star Trek, when they have to remove the people from the planet before they can, mine it or rape it.
Sure.
We did the same thing. We introduced a new concept to these people called title paper. You know, mm-hmm. this we are putting a piece of paper on the land, and we're going to pay you a couple, you know, shekels to
mm-hmm. give you some beads or something.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, these people are like, okay, we don't understand, but okay, we put our X on paper, and mm-hmm. next thing you know, you've got a claim now, a legal claim, and that's the real trick with the Bible as well, and understanding what real Christianity is. Christianity, there are no Christians in America. Probably not. Really, aren't any in the world, because a Christian wouldn't have a government. They wouldn't be a citizen. They wouldn't belong to a church. They would, you know, they'd be in a robe and sandals, walking around, trying to get people out of the system that they're in. And they certainly wouldn't be paying tithes to a church. So there are no Christians. It's a misnomer, mm-hmm. because nobody's read the Bible. Nobody understands the words in the Bible.
Right. Very few people. Sure. Yes.
So I want to read one more thing here. This, I think, is the most important thing. People really need to check this out, because this goes along with Agenda 21 perfectly, in the concept of course, consensus. You know, the consensus is very important.
Consensus.
Yeah, we love our consensus. So there's this thing called the Washington Geoengineering Consortium. All right? No, it doesn't exist. The Washington Geoengineering Consortium is a collaboration between a set of academics, of course, from Johns Hopkins University and American University in Washington, D.C. It's a non-governmental organization. We are concerned with the social, political, and legal implications of geoengineering technologies. Our public outreach efforts are guided by the observation that to date, the conversation about geoengineering's development, deployment, and implications have been confined to a relatively narrow set of voices. Our goal at the Washington Geoengineering Consortium is to generate space for perspectives from civil society actors and the wider public to produce a heightened level of engagement around issues in geoengineering. All right. What?
Right.
On November 4th, 2013, the Washington Geoengineering Consortium organized a meeting for civil society actors based in Washington, D.C., brought together around 40 people from major environmental development and justice non-governmental associations, or NGOs, to consider the challenges and opportunities presented by geoengineering technologies. All right, so let's stop and examine what's happened here. How do you gain consensus? Well, you pay a bunch of people to say, the earth, the sky is falling, we must geoengineer, right? So what is a mm-hmm. civil society actor? A civil society actor is a member of a non-governmental organization, or, if you will, a lobby, basically, mm-hmm. that stands in the place of humans, of citizens, and acts as if they're part of civil society. How do you gain consensus from the public to do geoengineering? Mm-hmm. You avoid public vote. You get non-governmental organizations to pretend that they are the public. So you have what's called civil society actors. Now, here's what they listen to this, people. This is their conclusion. They ask the question, how should civil society actors frame geoengineering? Well, what does that mean? What do you mean frame? Present it to the public? How do you propagandize geoengineering to the public? And here's what they said. Now, Deanna, I know you're familiar with like think tank articles, the New American Century,
sure,
all of those, Iron Mountain, and they all talk about external threats, right? You always have to have an external threat in order to justify a militarized government or to justify geoengineering.
A response.
You always have to be a threat. All right, so here's what they said. Here's how the civil society actors should propagandize or frame geoengineering to the public. Now, some of them suggested that the dominant framing for geoengineering now is as a solution to climate change. But wait a minute, they say, few scientists would make such a claim. But the general public may still construe the promise of geoengineering as, quote, this will make climate change go away, and so we don't have to change our behaviors, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
mm-hmm.
So what if they want us to change our behaviors. They want to streamline us into Agenda 21, sustainable development, like, stack 'em and pack 'em, communitarianism. So they want us to change the way. How do you do that except with an external threat? But we can't. What they're saying is we can't sell geoengineering as a solution because then people won't change their ways. They'll keep polluting. When in reality it's corporations, and it's okay because we have this solution called geoengineering. So what else did they say? Few suggested that to shift the conversation in productive ways, geoengineering should be characterized publicly as a terrible choice, quote unquote. Geoengineering, in other words, can be viewed by civil society organizations, in other words, non-governmental organizations promoting Agenda 21, as a strategic opening, as a way to bring home the horrors of climate change to policymakers and the public. All right, so now they say, well, no, let's not sell it as a solution. Let's sell it as an evil last resort so that people change their ways. There's even scientists in here that say, if you don't change your ways, human population, if you don't resort to sterilization vaccines, if you don't, we are going to geoengineer the planet. That's basically how they want to sell it. If we, the people, do not change our ways, which, by the way, what are our ways but to purchase consumer products from corporations that are the main polluters, right? If we don't change our ways, then that's how they're going to sell it to people now. Geoengineering is going to be sold to you in the media, in other words, and through policymakers and think tanks in Washington, D.C., as a last resort because we are evil and we have altered the climate because we live, and that's basically how they're going to do this. It's a control method. It's a way of selling sustainable development through the fear of climate change so that they can stack us and pack us in little city centers, basically. It's just communitarianism.
Right. Sure.
Civil society actors.
Right, and they have used NGOs. They started doing that in the first, my brain just went to sleep. The first meeting that they had in Rio de Janeiro, where they were planning all of this, sustainable development, when they were planning all of this nonsense, they used NGOs who gathered together actors who said, oh yes, this is what we want. And those people did not represent any of us. So they've been doing this for a long time. That's how they that is how they get consensus, because if they have this big, well, a relatively sizable group of people saying, oh yes, this is the way it must be done, then the rest of us, in order not to feel out of sync or something, that, or not to raise our hand and say, well, wait a minute, this isn't the way it should be done, or this isn't the way it works, we'll go along, because that we're herd animals.
Sure. And keep in mind, like I said, they're selling this to the younger generations that they can save the planet, save society, save the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're just slaves to the world, of course, but and here's how they're doing it. Let's go to MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, course
right.
for civil and environmental engineering degrees. Now, keep in mind, the civil society actor within the non-governmental organization is one of the programs being offered by colleges in geoengineering. You see, they need every aspect. So it's not just the study of geology or the study of earthquakes or oceanology or whatever. It is a full comprehensive course in the management of the geoengineering and environmental engineering. Here's what it says.
Sure.
It says, a detailed listing of each course in the graduate program, says the mission of the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering. Now, civil is us. Keep
right.
Remember, civil law.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Is to provide human services in a sustainable way, balancing society's need for long-term infrastructure with environmental health. This positions the civil and environmental engineering program to play an essential role in solving some of the most pressing problems facing humanity, including concerns about energy and the environment. Do you see how this is? You see how they're
right.
wrapping it up? They're wrapping sustainable development. They're putting Agenda 21 into the school system so that it is absolutely normal to any kid growing up in this time. Research domains, 6 overlapping cross-disciplinary focus areas. One of them is smarter cities. We've heard of smart growth. Smart is a word that was coined so that people would not hear the word Agenda 21 or sustainable development. Because
right.
if they knew that this was coming from a United Nations globalism plot, that they would fight it. But if you say smart, oh, well, that's okay.
Well, everybody
smarter
wants to
cities.
Have.
Smarter cities.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. This is nuts. Did you hear that? Solving some of the if you go to MIT and spend a lot of money, you can help solve some of the most pressing problems facing humanity. Who wouldn't buy that?
Sure.
What kid would not want to grow up being Superman?
Gosh, these people really have it nailed down. They know how to manipulate society. They know how to manipulate groups, and of course, you've talked about CORE. Before. And so it starts even before they get to the university. All of this nonsense starts before they even get there. They are designing through the core systems apparatus in the lower grades, in elementary school through high school, so that people will readily accept these programs as being the only thing possible that we can do here in universities, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is the, this is the dangers of putting your kid into a government education. I mean, your public school system, this is the dangers of not teaching your kids some sanity, some reason, some logic, they will not question this. They will just go into this because of their Common Core standards, because of the computer age, because they will go into this willingly, and they will be the ones that keep us in our smart cities, in our sustainably developed little centers, which are just prisons, basically.
Mm-hmm.
With benefits, that they're
right.
the ones that are going to be guarding us.
Right. And, of course, they've trained kids from early on with their smartphones into this this virtual educational system so that they're not thinking outside of the computer or outside of, and that's why everybody needs to have a computer, right? So that they can
have
this virtual reality.
A taxpayer-funded computer. Don't forget that.
Yes.
That's why the education business is the prime business right now. Because if you can get if Microsoft can get a computer in every kid's hand, then Microsoft gets money for every computer in every kid's hand. You can't forget that. That's what it's all about. And don't forget, this is adults. These are adult toys that kids get. The adults are the real problem, because adults, since the 50s, since the 60s, adults aren't growing up anymore. You know, for the most part, you had the hippie movement, which transformed a whole generation into believing that they changed the world, kind of like this new one will be. And in truth, they never grew up, and they're the ones wearing the ties and suits right now.
Yeah, Bill Gates who is saying, "Oh, we just need to vaccinate people to lower the population."
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
and of course, we know that he made a deal with the government that they would that he could have his monopoly. And of course, with that monopoly and with the back door into the Windows operating system, they can pretty much control what we do, or they can't control it, but they can see it, right?
Oh, sure. It's not just a school. It's a transition program. So they, especially with special needs kids, which, you know, you can pretty much say anyone's a special needs kid at this point, is that you have not only a school plan, but a life plan, a work plan, a play plan, you know, throughout the whole entire life of the subject or the student. So.
Right. Wow, you certainly cheered us up today.
I always try. No, I always fail, though.
No, you're just an excellent researcher, and I always appreciate visiting with you. I think I've had you on my program more than any other guest. You were one of the first people that I found when I started in radio. But you're feeling better. You've gotten over your bout with food poisoning.
with Chinese food, yeah. I probably will never be able to eat Chinese quite the same way.
Yes, I probably would never eat it again.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, you know. I didn't do anything. I drank a lot of water, and I let my body do exactly what it needed to do, which was to throw it up.
Yeah, that's what it does.
Took probably longer than if I would have done some miracle cure, but I mean that's what the reflex is for, is to allow your body to do what it is, and we need to let our bodies do, you know, what
right.
What
if you're running a fever, don't try and stop the fever. The fever is getting rid of the virus. If your nose is running, let your body do what it's meant to do.
Exactly.
So, I'm going to be subbing for you sometime next week.
Yeah, I was going to ask you after the show, actually. A Monday and Tuesday, does that sound good to you?
Sure.
Starting next Monday.
Okay, that's great.
So, Jana Spingola on Republic Broadcasting, 6, you know, what is that, 7 p.m.
7
p.m. Central.
Yep, I'll have to take a little nap during the, you know, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So at night I'm not always real, real sharp, but I'll take a little nap and it'll be fine. I think it'll be fun. I'll enjoy doing that. So anyway, Clint, let's remind our listeners, the website is realityblogger.wordpress.com, and, of course, thecorporationnation.com. Everybody should look at those that video. It is the foundation for just about everything you talk about. So any last words of wisdom that you'd like to leave with us?
On the corporationnation.com, there's my last lecture I did basically is what, if you want to know Common Core and what's going on, globalization, I think that's the best thing to look at, honestly. Huh? And, you know, teach your children well. Don't
Indeed.
Let them go to these schools.
Indeed.
Take care, Deanna.
You too. Thank you so much. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you next week.